Welcome to the Forgettable Reads Podcast, a no-nonsense sleepcast for the rest of us. No creepy whispering, no bad spa music, no sleepy monotone. Just sincere reads of boring, bland material for all your verbal white noise needs. And now your host, Lauren Good.
Good evening, my friends, and welcome to episode 12. I am happy to report our weird little podcast just received 5,000 downloads last month. I mean, for such a niche podcast, that was incredibly encouraging to see. So before we dive in, I wanted to thank all of you who decided to give us a try, who shared our message with others, and a huge thank you to Alex DeWeese for his editing and production magic professionally, not to mention his friendship and support personally. I still remember pitching him on this idea initially and just hoping he wouldn't run away screaming. He is such a great editor and a human, and he really has been the MVP of my voiceover career in the past half decade. I wouldn't be here without him or without Brooke, who is not part of the podcast, but who proofs our long-form narration projects. So, Alex, sorry to put you on the spot, but is there anything you'd like to say about either our origin story or what it feels like to know we've managed to find the right nooks and crannies of the human psyche who need these boring rambles of Forgettable Reads?
Yeah, you know, when you first came to me with the idea, I mean, I was thrilled, not only because, you know, I just love working with you, but I mean, I thought it was a great idea. Because, you know, I'm someone who, you know, I do enjoy having a little bit of background when I fall asleep, but I was always kind of opposed to the kind of sleep or meditation podcast where you have this really low, quiet, almost whispery voice. It's just, it does something to me. I can't really do it. So hearing this idea, I was super excited to not only produce something with you, but I thought the idea was great. And I mean, I had been wanting to produce a podcast for years. So it was an easy yes. And, you know, it's been awesome so far. I love doing it with you.
You know, I sometimes wonder, maybe I should make you do the intros for these episodes. Maybe we can plant the seed for listener requests to have you or special guests join us from time to time. That's the downfall of having a podcast meant for relaxing. It's much harder to ask people to share what kind of content they are hungry for. But that was actually a question someone asked me on LinkedIn, if we were bringing guests on to the podcast. I love the idea. Well, Alex, I just love working with you. You are so awesome on every level. And so I hope you'll take that to the spiritual bank on the crappy days. Okay, all of that sentimentality out of the way, let's go ahead and dive into tonight's topics, which are, spoiler alert, also fairly emotional. I imagine this is going to be a nice, long intro, so buckle up and cozy up, my friends. I do have some things to share, which I hinted at in the last episode. Have some updates, I guess you could call them, and some of them I have been keeping to myself and pretty close to the chest for a while. Or is it close to the vest? I don't know. I always mix these cliches up. But I'd like to start with why I'm inspired to share what is on my heart and mind this week in this episode. I've been watching this streaming series where celebrities partner up with the Property Brothers in order to make over the homes of whomever the celebrity nominates. This is one of my new normals from the pandemic, watching programs that basically act as a wind down or a transition from working to relaxing instead of the epic or gripping shows that I used to binge in the before times. I find my mind needs something akin to neutral static in order to tune itself. So on Celebrity IOU, they ask the celebrities to pick someone from their past who has really been there for them through their ups and downs. And there are a bunch of great episodes. Brad Pitt, Chauncey Riley, Lisa Kudrow, Allison Janney actually rocked a ball gown on the first day of demolition, which was like 16 levels of crazy badass. But tonight's episode featured Halle Berry, and she nominated her fifth grade teacher, whom she credits for changing the trajectory of her life, not only as a mentor, but also as a surrogate mother and someone that she recognized as being like her, who could help her learn about their shared heritage and culture. It is a total Waterworks episode, or at least it was for me. And here's why. Halle Berry and I share the same birthday, August 14th. And as I watched her move through this episode, I instantly fell in love with her energy, her spirit, and truth. As she ambushes her beloved mentor of like 30 or 40 years sitting at the kitchen table, she makes it all of 15 seconds before she gets weepy and just keeps repeating, "No one on earth deserves this more than you do," and tears are just streaming down her face as her throat seizes up. Her actual words can only hint at the debt of gratitude that she clearly feels for this woman, for this relationship, for how powerful and meaning it has been and is to her. And I mean, I tell you, my heart heard her heart loud and clear under and through those words. While some people might see that level of sensitivity and emotional resonance as being weak, or my own personal favorite, fragile, it actually takes a lot of strength to sit with the magnitude of what true appreciation and gratitude honestly feel like from an energetic standpoint. It is such a strong feeling that the water has to go somewhere. In my experience, the eyes and throat are the place they rush to. It's like otherwise the pressure in the heart behind the sternum just become almost unbearable or paralyzing. In the next scene, they cut to the demolition, and she jokingly shows them all of her badass MMA moves from movie making. So she fakes a punch to Drew and then delivers this roundhouse kick. Then she shows them how to do a Bond vixen walk through a wall that she's literally just smashed with a sledgehammer. And they have a laugh as Jonathan gives it his best hip dysplasia attempt, which was the joke about how to nail Bond vixen walks. So what I'm trying to say is she's a badass with an incredible sense of humor, and her energy is just so versatile and multifaceted. I really loved how she approached the whole experience, like completely all in. They ask her at one point, are you competitive or aggressive? And Halle Berry's like, yes. Yes to all of those things. That's why I make the movies I do. Aggressive, boom. Competitive, boom. Want to do my best, boom. Then we get to the scene where she uncovers a drawer full of all the letters that her teacher Yvonne has received for decades from students. Letters celebrating milestones, thanking her for not only being a rock, but a safe place to land during all the trials and tribulations of figuring it all out in this wackadoodle life. Yvonne attempts to express the pride and fulfillment that she gets from feeling called to make an impact as an educator while being interviewed on camera. And it's clearly very difficult for her to, you can see it, you can feel it, but it's very hard for her to find the words. And so this gap between the authentic feeling and what can actually be expressed with language and words is a major theme that runs pretty intensely throughout the whole episode. And it's also a theme that I have been feeling in my life in this particular chapter as well. So, facts. I am not Halle Berry. While we both were born on August 14th, we were born 15 years apart. She is a worldwide famous celebrity known for on-screen performances and, being absolutely stunningly beautiful. I am an unknown pajama performer with a face for radio who stuck to voiceover in regional theater. But I did have teachers and mentors who changed my life and my trajectory the same way that Halle felt about Yvonne. Many of them who did feel like secondary parents to me, many of whom I still talk to this day. And let me tell you, if I had Halle's resources, I would be doing the same thing for them as she was doing for Yvonne. Sue Blanchett, I doubt very seriously that you listen to this podcast, but you make the top of the list, as you already know. You saved my life when I was 14 and gave me a whole new life that I have no intention of squandering. I will make the most of it and will always endeavor to make you proud. Thank you for everything. Halle Berry tells Yvonne at one point in the episode, "You did so much for me. You've put so much into me. I want to make you proud." Yeah, I definitely know that feeling. For the mentors, like Coach Blanchett, who saw something in me as a teenager, a total diamond in the rough, and brought me into theater and mock trial and debate, to write, to paint, to swim, to play soccer, to not give up or give in, to not let anger or the chaotic reality I lived in destroy my soul, who taught me how to channel my emotions into momentum and advocacy, to trust and use my voice. I will never, cannot ever stop loving, appreciating, and being grateful to them. That feeling is quite intense, but in a beautiful way. It's the ultimate gift that keeps on giving. If you yourself have given that, or if you've received it, or if you've done both, then you know what I mean. There really are no amounts of word, money, effort that ever seems adequate. So while I can't ambush them the way Halle Berry did, hire a car to take them to a fancy restaurant and then kick them out of their homes for 4 to 6 weeks while the Property Brothers make over their space, the one thing I knew I could do was take that energy, that bond, that saving grace, and pay it forward. I could be a rock or a safe space, an enjoyable harbor in the crazy sea of life, a cheerleader, a goofy mentor for anyone who needed it, and I had the capacity to provide for. I've always believed life contains both beauty and pain for the simple reason that it allows us to genuinely connect, help, and serve one another. I have always wanted the pain, the harshness, the self-inflicted punishments, the trials and tribulations from my own life to be of service to others. The pain and the BS, as I like to call it. It's like this idea of, well, don't do it the hard, painful way I did. Do it with love. Do it with kindness, humor, and do it with grace. I have come to learn that I am a bit of a weirdo. I'm certainly not for everyone. I'm a complex being, in scare quotes. But in truth, aren't we all? 3D complex beings in a 2D world. In terms of astrology, which is what I meant by loving and recognizing that I share a birthday with Halle Berry, I am a Leo Sun, Scorpio Rising, Aquarius Moon. For those of you who follow or are familiar with the zodiac, you might already know what an intense experience or expression that might be. But I've only recently started studying it. I mean, before now, before working with a coach who is very into astrology, I've always been more familiar with DISC assessments, Myers-Briggs, top five. So for everyone else who, like me, isn't as well-versed in space magic, Leo is a strong, loyal, playful, tender-hearted sign that just wants to be their best, live life to the fullest, and to shine love and radiance on full blast like the sun. But they are also very sensitive, and they need to feel like they belong. They need to be surrounded by people, supportive people, a team, an entourage, a village, which I think is why they get a bit of a bad diva rap. Scorpios are fairly intense in terms of emotion and psychological nuance. They are apparently very deep and perceptive and have a strong desire to go beyond the superficial facade of what is considered normal, to explore the taboo. As a water sign, they are also very protective, creative, and can be quite destructive and vengeful when they are hurt, which is why they get a bad rap for being dangerous and intimidating. Oh, fun times. And then finally, Aquarius moons are considered the aliens of the zodiac. defined by living a life of mind. They are obsessed with finding new information and sharing it with others, making change, innovating things for the future. They're very futuristic. They can almost seem neuroatypical because of how they express emotions. Yet, meanwhile, they do feel emotions quite deeply, almost poetically. And this is also true for me. So this really does make for all the fun times. But like all people, whether you look at a DISC assessment or an astrology whole house reading or whatever, these unique characteristics combine to form what you might call your calling, something special that you can do in ways that others cannot. Your unique challenges, your unique gifts, your unique ways of being. And when they are aligned, you can literally become an absolute force of nature. That's the idea. I thought I had found this calling. For 4 years, I had the privilege to run an online group as a friend, a mentor, a leader, and mostly a bad comedian with a special taste for well-timed gifts and inappropriate off-the-cuff jokes that I am sure offended just as many people as they entertained. Now here is where, like Hallie, the words are going to get harder. And I hope you are able to hear the message under it and through them. I will do my best. Nothing has ever come close to the pure feeling of heaven as it was to see people who showed up with their fear, with their baggage, with their limiting beliefs. There were women who had for a lifetime believed they couldn't be good at math or engineering. There were people who were at retirement age who felt like they were too old or too tech-averse to make it as a successful voice actor. And being a voice actor does require a lot of tech and new skills. Like every day, it's a learning curve, even 20 years in. We had recovering perfectionists who struggled to allow their light to shine out from beyond the overly critical, self-regulating shadow. People who always believed they were too shy or introverted to network, make new connections, or, God forbid, have to promote themselves publicly. Now, these folks, with enough time, attention, care, improv sessions, and encouragement from the community started to break through these limitations. Maybe not as aggressively as Halle Berry was kicking down cabinet doors and walls, but in their own unique ways. For me, getting to see and participate in that process was just absolutely magical. It was, it fulfilled a very deep need, a deep knowing, a thread in my karmic lineage. I don't know how to express this part, but like it really checked a box. It really filled something deep inside of me that nothing else to this point in my life has. The best way that I have been able to express it is something I said in an email. I truly felt like I was exactly where I was supposed to be. And that's the truth. Someone, I think like 2 years in, someone in the group jokingly called me the mama bear. And it stuck. Even my coworkers started calling the department my baby. And the word mom, maternal, motherly, seemed to come up every week. There was this idea that like, you know, I was taking everyone into my bosom. I did not experience it that way. Where I disagreed with the analogy is that this idea that if I'm the mom and the department is my baby, then there's some kind of dependence going on. And that's the opposite of what I was experiencing in the group. I mean, yes, I had a role to play. I had obviously some great missions to fulfill, but it was watching the community become its own force of nature. You know, watching people find these things in themselves, be it finding their authentic voice for voiceover to, you know, getting over their fear of tech. I didn't do that for them. They did it for themselves. I just got to reflect back to them along the way. And so I never really appreciated, when people would make those jokes about things being my baby. But back out of the rabbit hole to what I was saying. I was spending time with a coach, an executive coach, who was giving me 14 hours of executive training homework to do some months. And I was spending more time editing spreadsheets, Google Docs, and diplomatically, or let me rephrase, attempting my best version of diplomacy in responding to emails, challenges, and managing people. The issue is, I was managing people who did not ask or did not want me to manage them. I stepped on a lot of toes, I rocked a lot of boats, and I really started to have this kind of painful dualistic experience as privately and publicly my roles were stretching in opposite directions. Like the Sia song, I felt like the rubber band that I didn't want anyone to pull too hard. Over that time, I tried to stay open, and I was receiving a lot of messaging. On one side, I was getting sweet, sweet notes from students who appreciated what I was attempting to do, really appreciating the community. And while I don't have a drawer full of them like Yvonne did, I do have them all saved on my phone, and I revisit them on the crappy days. I want to point that out because I think we always take time to say negative things. We very rarely take the time to say those sweet, meaningful things, and they really do make a difference. So use this as an excuse to find someone that you're grateful to or for and just let them know. So I was receiving a lot of this sweet messaging, but I was also receiving quite a bit of pushback. At least that's what I was perceiving. This whole storyline of like Lauren the too much, yet somehow still not enough. There are too many emails, too many words, too many follow-ups. Oh, might be overthinking things. You might be too fragile. You might care too much. You're overly maternal, too attached, taking on too many things, too personally. I don't know. I don't know how much of that was in my head or not. But what I do know to be true is that I definitely was working too much and too hard. I was starting to break my own rules and not live in my integrity. I know I really did and do care, and I wanted to do whatever was needed. Now, I've learned that that is connected to Libra being in my 12th house of higher learning and spirituality. It's a tendency to go above and beyond to try to keep people happy, which is both sad and delightful. At the same time, I was watching my own voiceover business, the marketing, my auditioning skills starting to fizzle and fade as I was just spending so much time being an executive lady. There was this fear. I mean, who am I if no one needs me? I mean, wouldn't it be completely selfish and materialistic of me to change course now? I had to weigh the pros and cons. I had to weigh my strengths and inadequacies. I knew I lacked some maturity and interpersonal skills, as well as the actual desire to be a manager or to be the executive lady that my former coach clearly thought I was destined to be because of my DISC profile. But even in that, you know, I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. I wanted to be better in those areas. I didn't want to say, no, I can't do this, so I'm not going to do it. I had to really reflect on what was true for me personally. I know what I know, feel how I feel, say what I mean, and do what I believe is right. I repeated that and the I no longer lie to myself mantra every morning. This is just not working for me, was the answer that I came up with. Yes, it's better for some people if I keep doing it, but this is not working for me. I'm better as a performer. I'm better as a colleague. I'm better as a friend. Even Alex and Brooke, who make up the Good Voice VO team, jokingly call me the boss every once in a while, but they don't ever call me their manager. That's just not my style. It's not how I relate to people. It's not how I communicate. And despite my fears and anxieties, and like the pressure of our society, like this need to be constantly climbing corporate ladders and achieving status, I really think that's okay. I really think it is okay to aspire to create and perform more than manage. I think that's okay. I can remember certain meetings and calls that I was on I had to repeat myself sometimes 15 times. And I was just watching the other person's eyes like kind of glaze over. And I had to start wondering, like, did I accidentally trigger my translation ship into some foreign language that no one could understand? And all the while just believing I just needed to work harder. I just needed to work harder to be understood, because working hard is my default setting. But there's also something incredibly freeing and peaceful to just walk away from situations that aren't compatible. For both people, I think. It's true in romantic relationships and in business. I mean, you can put the work in. You can do the hard work to make things better. Or you can let go and shed what isn't working to find or create something new. It's incredibly scary and painful to take that kind of leap, which is why most people can get stuck settling for less than they deserve. And I think all actors are guilty of sometimes confusing external validation with a sense of peace or authentic presence and confidence. And I found myself over and over feeling like a round peg trying to fit into a triangular hole. And that's on me. Why was I doing that? That's on me. One voice, my mind, kept saying, figure it out. We can solve this problem. Just get more training, do more webinars, get more coaching, work a little bit harder, and it will all sort itself out. But then there was this very quiet, unobtrusive voice in my gut, in my soul, in my core, saying, just let go. Look how hard you are clinging and grasping. Just let go. And so I left this position and the company about a week ago. It was one of the hardest things and decisions I've ever had to do or make. I honestly still don't know what to do with myself. It's like a bright light that has been shining for a long time is now missing, and my eyes are having to readjust. Except it's not my eyes, it's my heart. I miss everyone and everything. I am so, so very grateful to have had this opportunity. If I had to do it all over again, even if you told me there would be twice as many challenges this time, I would do it in a heartbeat. It's so messy when you let go. But in the end, it's the only way to clear space for what's next. And you have to be able to trust your gut. You have to be able to listen to your guiding voice, even when it doesn't make sense to others, even when it's hard, even when it's painful, even when it sometimes necessitates being the bad guy in someone else's story. And I know for me, that's a huge, huge struggle. But here's the truth. We're all just doing the best that we can with what we have at the time that we're doing it. Sometimes we're the statue. Sometimes we're the pigeon. Sometimes we're the poop. So going back to HGTV, seeing Halle Berry just embrace who she is in every moment, even if the producers or herself hyped up some of it for production value, she just didn't care. Like, she didn't care if she came across as too fragile, as too aggressive, too competitive, too needy, too caring, too emotional. And it was really nice. And knowing we share some stardust in our birth chart brings me back to one of the elements that does make up my own truth. And I hope it can, or already does, make up part of yours. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. You'll be a much better you than a weird, mutated imposter of something you aren't. You're only given one little spark of madness. You mustn't lose it. Madness is genius, creativity, and aliveness. Heck, the word lunatic even comes from our connection to the moon's tidal pull. Everyone belongs. You will find the right people and the right spaces. Be brave and be patient. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. just always make sure you love who you are becoming. You are enough. All of those kind of cheesy things being said, I also want to mention, I think it's just as important to be grateful for the people and situations who challenge you as support you. Because one inspires you to rally, to grow, and the other one, it's like you can come home to it. It's a really beautiful dance between the two. A bad relationship, a lying, deceitful partner, an unsupportive or ill-matched work environment, an overly critical or non-supportive friend, family member, boss, coach, jerk on the internet with an insensitive comment or 10 can teach you just as much, if not more, about what you do want, desire, deserve, and strive for, as can someone who's easy, supportive, and empowering. You just take that manure and fertilize your garden with it. I have a note in my own blueprint that actually says, seek out some Freds. Freds is my nickname for the people who tell you, you won't amount to much, so why bother trying? Well, hold my beer, Fred. I'll show you just how little I can do or amount to when you lay down a challenge like that. So, folks, with that all being said, if you are still awake, I love you so very much, and thank you for listening.